Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios Brisbane on 102.1 FM and broadcast across Australia on the Community Radio Network.
You're listening to Zed Games. With 10 years experience and over 500 episodes, Zed Games brings you the best in gaming news, reviews, community and culture. Want to reach out? Message us on Facebook at ZEDGamesAU.
Hi, my name is Evie and I'm here with...
Paul.
And Zara.
Woo!
Hooray.
You're listening to Zed Games, where we talk about... gaming news, gaming, we do gaming reviews as well.
We do those.
We talk a bit about pop culture. And we sometimes talk about games, like, you know, they suck sometimes. Sometimes they just suck.
Sometimes they do.
Some games suck and we talk about it.
You know,
what's the most recent game you played that sucked?
Actually, yeah, I want to know.
Oh, it's definitely not the game that I'm about to review.
Yes.
We might differ on that
one. Yeah. We'll see how that turns out. Snip, snip.
Snip, snip.
No one has an idea what the room is about.
No. Like, they have absolutely no context from that. It could be anything.
Vasectomy is what it
could be. A hairdresser.
Like.
What?
Well, I said snip, snip. And then I went, oh, that could... People can't see my little crab claws.
Crab.
I'm trying to think
could
of the...
Could be lobster claws.
Yeah,
could
I'm
be
trying to think of vasectomy games. And I guess Surgeon Simulator might be the closest thing.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Isn't there like an achievement where... No.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know about the achievement.
Or delve into the dark world of frozen pregnancy.
No! 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 I can't do Elsa Gate again.
What's
I can't,
Elsa Gate?
No!
I don't know. That is a term. All I know is it's a genre. So.
Wow, that's a thing?
It's a whole thing.
So Elsa and the sister.
Yeah.
Pregnancy games or just straight up medical sims.
It's like those flash games kind of things. And it's like, you know how there's like dress up games and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of set up like that, but they're very, very specific.
It's a bit more morbid and... Like, if you ever played the old Trauma Center games, which is basically like an elaborate version of Operation, the board games. Like, oh, pull out the glass and cut it open, then put the antiseptic on. It's all that, but frozen characters.
Okay.
And there are hundreds of them.
And they're pregnant.
Wow.
There are 100 of Alice's and they are pregnant.
I just want to have a moment for the designers and the developers and their family going... So what are you working on currently?
I'm pretty sure an algorithm built these games.
There's
really?
Loads of them. Just like, it's just, and they come out, like, they came
but
out so
who made
quick.
The algorithm?
I don't want to talk about this anymore. Can we
final
please?
Final proof of the existence of God, the algorithm that makes frozen pregnancy games.
Wow. What a world we live in. What a way to start the show. Today on Zed Games, we are talking about other things other than pregnancy surgical simulators. We are also... Zara is reviewing Fight Crab.
Da-da-da. Fight Crab.
Snip, snip, snip. Making
Am I doing
sounds.
That now?
No, not right
oh,
now.
Oh, no.
But
don't
it will
jump
be.
The gun.
No, it will be happening.
Hold on to your horses.
After... The Week in Gaming News.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm playing it. Let's do it.
In Gaming News. DC Comics hosted an event last weekend and announced a number of projects. The online-only event, called the DC Fandome, was created for the company to communicate with fans due to COVID-19 restrictions. New details on several upcoming films, including Wonder Woman 1984, The Suicide Squad, and The Batman, were revealed, and we also saw the announcement of two games. Gotham Knights, WB Games Montreal's new game, is set after the apparent death of Batman and will let players explore an open-world Gotham as Batgirl, Robin, Nightwing, or Red Hood. The third-person action game lets players team up with a co-op buddy to battle villains and uncover the mysterious Court of Owls. The game is planned for current and next-gen systems with a release date of next year. Also at the Fandome was the first glimpse at Rocksteady's long-awaited new project titled Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League. While details are currently scant, the colourful four-player-focused action game pits Harley Quinn, Deadshot, Captain Boomerang, and King Shark against a Justice League turned bad. The game is currently scheduled for a 2022 release on next-generation systems. Players of the new Microsoft Flight Simulator have discovered a 212-storey high obelisk in the suburbs of Melbourne. The Verge reports that the glitch was traced back to Nathan Wright, who, as a university student, had been working with OpenStreetMaps for a class task. When entering data, Wright simply made a typo and typed 212 instead of 2. The data then made its way into Bing Maps, which is used to generate the terrain in Microsoft Flight Simulator. Fall Guys, the party game-styled battle royale, is one of this year's breakout hits, selling over 2 million in its first week on PC alone. Developer Mediatonic has leveraged the game's popularity to get a charitable bidding war going. The brand who donates the most money to the charity, Special Effect, will have a skin added to the game. Special Effect is a UK-based charity focused on assisting disabled gamers. At the time of recording, the highest bidder is FGTV at $422,222.22. Games Done Quick have just wrapped up their Summer Games Done Quick event, which has raised over $2.3 million for Doctors Without Borders. Now in its 10th year, the popular speedrunning event was run entirely online after being delayed due to COVID-19. Whilst the event may be over, you can still check out this year's runs on the Games Done Quick's YouTube channel. That's all this week in gaming news.
Oh, thank you, Paul.
Thank you, me.
Thank you. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, you. So we were just having a bit of a giggle there in between the playing of the news to laugh at how Paul exactly said $422,222.22. Oh, nailed it.
You got it quite quickly.
Whoa.
Yeah, when I was really young, kind of slightly off topic, but related to how much money this is donated for a skin in Fall Guys, my brother and I have a fascination for supercars and cars like that. And when I was little, he had a magazine with all the supercars in it, and it had the price tags on them. And I was really young, so I didn't know how to say numbers that big. And he was getting me to break it down, and I have a very, very vivid memory of practicing for hours just to say really large numbers like that.
Aww.
Yeah, so anytime I see numbers like that, I'm like, thanks, bro.
That is a sweet sibling
what
moment.
Look how far it's gotten me. Thanks.
The dizzying highs.
Yeah.
So my takeaway from the whole Warner Brothers DC Comics fandom event
is
that I really hope the word fandom doesn't exist after this year, because that's weird. Also, almost every article written about it, I'd say about 90%, just wrote fandom and took the E away because they thought, I mean, there's no dome. No one's fighting. It was actually a virtual dome. I'm kind of lying there. They did have a 3D dome that was rendered around the presenters.
That's so lame.
It's not like the Thunderdome.
Yeah, if you're not fighting, it's not a dome.
Yeah. Like, come on. We fight. If it's a dome, you're fighting. That's it.
Just like in Fight Crab. We'll get there.
In weird extra news on the whole Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad Kill Justice League thing, so Gotham Knights, that looks like an Arkham game, like same sort of art style, moving on.
Yeah.
Basically sort of picks up from the end of the last Arkham game. It's non-canonical, completely different universe. Now the Suicide Squad game, which looks like a hypercolor nightmare of just wackiness and whatever, that is canonical with the Arkham Asylum games.
You know what? That checks out with what I know of the
I just
DC
make them both
universe.
Non-canonical. So we'll find out. We'll find out.
It looks pretty cool though, right? Like, I mean, like most games at the moment, they look stunning, but you never really know until you're there and you're playing it how it feels.
Well,
but
yeah.
Suicide, we haven't seen anything actually on.
By Suicide, you mean Suicide Squad, yeah.
Sorry, just some clarification. I shouldn't shorten a game to Suicide. It's not till 2022 and we haven't seen any actual gameplay from it, which was a little disappointing because it's a long time since we've seen Rocksteady, but... you know, we'll see eventually. I'm more excited to play that than I am to play any more of the Avengers, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was quite hyped at the beginning of the year for Avengers as it was to come out on me birthday. But no, I'm not that hyped anymore.
How could it ever go wrong?
Yeah.
It has all the money in the world and all these properties in the world, and then you play it.
But Cyberpunk 2077 was also delayed until my birthday also.
Oh, there you go.
And I was like, yes, except now it's been pushed to November.
Oh,
because my birthday.
That was the first delay. So the first delay pushed it, and then the second delay ruined it for you.
Yeah, and now it's Sarah's birthday. Yeah, no, my birthday's the 4th of September, so there's a few things coming out. Because September's usually a big release month in the industry, so you can usually be like, I want this game for my birthday. Hey, you, Mom, yep, okay, I want this one. And over there, yep, Uncle, yeah, I want this one. Just like, there we go, sweet. Give me some games.
Trying to think what's out. Do you have a Switch?
You don't have to buy me a game, Paul. It's okay.
But Lair of the Clockwork God just got announced for Switch, and I've been wanting to play it all year, but I want to play it on Switch, and now it is, and I'm so happy. And it's cool.
We'll do it. Zara. And Zara is going to give a review.
Do you want to put a bit more sizzle on my name? Or?
Zara.
Zara.
All right, we're taking it off the heat now.
Simba. I don't know.
All right.
Fight crab.
Fight crab. You are a crab. A simple crab. You find yourself thrown into the ocean with a single purpose, a single goal, and a single thought. You must fight. A 3D fighting game. Fight Crab takes you through battle after battle, flipping your opponents onto their back. However, like crabs, your task isn't all that simple. As a decapod crustacean, you must master control of your arm and body and 10 limbs. You not only battle in the ocean, facing other crabs, but you also take to the streets, castles, cities, determinedly focus on flipping every single opponent you encounter, whether they be crab, lobster, or otherwise. But does your tough shell hide a soft interior? Technically, yes. But emotionally, it's all crab all the way through. This is a fun, chaotic, broken, but it feels right sort of game. The game mechanics are cluttered, to say the least, deliberately so. The controls make sense and they're easy to learn. It's easiest if you use a controller. But they're difficult to master, and that's part of the fun of it. You find yourself flailing your claws around, scuttling over obstacles, wielding anything your pincers can grab hold of. Your body is a weapon, and so is your environment. And your enemy is also a weapon. The weapon your enemy is holding could be your weapon as well. Punch your enemy. Block your enemy. Grab onto them, forcing them to yield to your crustaceous superiority.
Oh my goodness.
Who cares if you're facing a lobster with a knife and gun? It could be your knife and gun if you're crab enough. You can level up your crab. Perfect its form to your style. You unlock new crustaceans and weapons, and you also earn abilities and power-ups. Are you ready to surge with righteous crab power, pummel your opponent, and then blast them away with pure crabby energy? Well, you better be! If at first you feel you're mashing buttons, that's okay. Crabs also need to learn the ways of tactics, finesse, and controls. You and your crab will grow together. Soon you'll be in sync with each other. Outside, you may be human, but inside, emotionally, it's crab. Sound effects are standard for a fighting game. Your claws sound satisfying. You can hear the energy of the blast as you're blown away. There's an announcer telling you your next opponent is arriving. Now, the music is good. It's powerful, it's futuristic, energizing, and enjoyable to listen to. And it pushes the whole game experience to the limits. This is an absurd game. It's silly. It's like a joke that's played seriously. And there were genuine moments when I thought, oh, actually, that's pretty cool. The music ties it all together. Overall, I was a little nervous about playing this game. I have a history with our crustacean friends, and I was worried I wouldn't enjoy this game. I thought it would be too goofy with minimal effort for a laugh. And the UI and menus reinforced that. They look very serious, but I couldn't understand a lot of it initially. Parts of the game could have done with a lot more polish, so I was a little apprehensive. I am happy to say I was proven wrong. I don't know if it's a great game, but it was definitely a fun game. And I am astounded by how well this was executed. The controls were easy to learn. The game actually automatically locks onto your target and manages parts of your controls, so you're not overwhelmed. You're given so many weapons, power-ups, and abilities that I just could not wait to use whatever it was I grabbed. It's a tree? Okay. A coconut crab has appeared with a hammer? I'm not going to back down. Onwards I go. A lobster with rockets attached to its claws? Who thinks of these things? This is brilliant! I'm having an absolute whale of a time! I can't wait to crack open this sweet game at a party with friends. Maybe the UI leaves me crabby. I felt like I was going crab-wise with the layout and navigation of the menus. And maybe I felt like I was being thrown into boiling water with the battle as chaos reigned. But that doesn't matter much. Because I'm a crab. And I must fight.
Crab!
Wow. This sounds like it's going to be a bit of a wild ride.
Oh, the understatement.
It's got sort of like a ragdoll kind of mechanic too, right?
It does, like, but like that's a lot of the fun of it, I think, is I didn't really know what was going on most of the time, except that, okay, the lobster has actual rockets and a gun.
Hmm. So my experience with Fight Crab was last year at PAX Australia. It was the final Amigathon game.
Ooh.
So everyone's put together and the reveal and this game comes up. And unfortunately, the projectors, no one could really watch what was going on, but it seemed funny. And then when I finally got around to playing it, I didn't feel great about it. And so when the review came up and I had a key, it's like, here's a review key, because we had the crab history.
Yeah.
And I was so afraid that you wouldn't enjoy yourself. But I'm happy to be proven wrong that you found the joy in it.
I really did find the joy. Like, I was kind of like, okay, all right, well, this is a goofy game. I guess I didn't put that much effort into it. But it was a goofy, over-the-top, silly, ridiculous game.
In the best kind of way.
In the best
kind
of way. Just like, just serve that up with some butter and we're good to go.
I also enjoy in your review that you use a lot of puns, but almost every pun was just the word crab.
That's the only pun you can use with crabs.
We really wanted to make sound effects all the way through and we just did a little bit of clicking.
Yeah, I really appreciated that. That helped me get really immersed into it.
Yeah, no, it's certainly a flaily control system in the game.
Yeah.
You don't really ever feel like you're
100% in control. I was not
in control
at any point of the game, but I was mashing buttons.
But it also kind of means that you're not really going to get someone that's really great at the game that's just going to kick everyone's butt.
No, it's a level playing field. Mm. Everyone's a crab or a lobster.
Yeah, they don't differentiate between the two. Everyone is crab level.
It's just everyone's just a crustacean and you're here to fight.
Fight!
That's all there is to it, really.
I want to be a barnacle, just like stuck on the ground.
Oh, could you imagine? Oh, that could be like part of your armor, and then maybe the barnacles could do little stick, like they poke out stuff.
It's a world of possibilities. Because there is a like slight subgenre of undersea fighting games, like Ace of Seafood.
Oh, like yeah.
But I think this is the most physical one. This is the only one where you can pick up a battle axe.
Yeah, like I picked up a battle axe. I picked up a great sword. It was
not just a good one.
A great one. I had like crab powers and I was just like, okay, well, I guess I'm pressing this button now. And it's just blue energy just shooting everywhere. And I was just kind of like, right. Okay. I'm going to use that from now on.
A lot of stuff boss. That goes on in this game.
Yeah. Just chaos. Fun.
It's kind of making me want to eat crab now.
Yeah. I really had a craving after it.
Crabs are like also one of the more messier creatures to eat. You need like a full bib. Or I think of lobster. No, I'm thinking of lobster.
No,
you
I mean,
can bib it up for anything you want.
Really?
Bib it up for spaghetti.
You don't have to restrict yourself. You can wear a bib.
I will wear a bib when I eat popcorn.
There's like these babies can get these. Well, not babies. Parents can get the babies the bibs that sort of like spread out across the high chair tray thing. So then it's like, you take the whole thing off and you're done.
Why are we
you
back at babies?
Scoop it back into their mouth.
Bibs!
I'll scoop into the dog's bowl. Enjoy the rest of that crab that the baby didn't eat.
Oh, that's a spoiled dog.
That's a spoiled baby. Babies eating crabs?
The wife gave the dogs leftover salmon last night.
What?
I was like, these boys are spoiled beyond.
They are gonna
just
have
like, call me up next time. I'll be at the door with like a little doggy bag, just like, hello, may I have your leftovers?
They're gonna have a nice silky shiny coat with all that fish oil.
Oh
yeah, fish oil's actually really good for a dog fur. I don't know, random fact.
It's also good for joints.
On the wish that we did use fish oil, but it made the breath really stink. Now we use coconut oil.
Oh,
and now it has lovely smelling breath too.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, how about that?
How educational Fight Crab turned out to be.
Yeah.
About dog oil skin.
Dog skin care.
Dog skin oil.
I think I needed some other words in that sentence. Yeah. But, you know.
Fur, maybe. Fight Crab is available on PC,
Flight Crab,
yeah?
Is available on PC. Oh, it's also coming to Nintendo Switch on the 15th of September.
Get ready.
You should be
late
ready.
Late birthday game.
Oh, no.
There is an online mode for Fight Crab.
Wow. It's like, if I start streaming, that'd be like the first game I'd want to stream.
If they did a Fight Crab Battle Royale, I would be interested.
Could you imagine?
You're way too excited
about
it.
It's an ocean of possibility.
The depths are limitless. It's just...
Paul, I believe. You have a review, sir.
I do. Now, I'm going to begin this review with a slight disclaimer that I wrote after I wrote the review. Because I realized I missed some core things of the game. And I'm like, I can't really fit this in the review, but it seems important. The following game plays like a 2D platformer. Mechanically, it's very satisfying to control. You get a double jump, a glide, and all sorts of other traditional video game interactions. And that's because nowhere in the normal review did I discuss how this game plays in a traditional sense. So, this game is Spiritfarer. It is a game about dying and hugging.
Aww.
From Thunder Lotus, the developer of Jotan and Sundered, comes a game that is about as far removed from those action-focused games as possible, other than the 2D hand-drawn style. You play Stella, a woman given the role of Spiritfarer at the game's onset by Charon the Ferryman, who takes souls to the world of the dead. It's also your cat's job to do it. You'll voyage out in the discovery of souls to help make their way to the afterlife, in your own boat, which is where you'll spend a good chunk of the game. There is a building and management aspect to the game, where you'll add rooms to your boat, such as a kitchen, garden, lumber mill, and rooms for your guests. You can also upgrade the size and abilities of your boat as the game continues. The souls you currently have on board you can feed and hug. They have their own likes and dislikes, which you'll uncover, with the goal of keeping them happy. While you journey from place to place, you may find yourself doing some of the following: fishing, gardening, dancing in lightning storms, collecting jellyfish, salvaging lost cargo, shearing sheep, and so on. At this point, you may think this sounds a little overwhelming. We're not even off the boat yet. This is one of Spiritfarer's great strengths. This is a game about taking your time and appreciating things at your own pace. There are no failure states. You do not have to spin all these plates at once. It's a gorgeous game where you'll often just stop and appreciate the world around you. The character designs are delightful and have some of the best 2D animation I have ever seen. No one has animated a more satisfying and realistic hug than the team at Thunder Lotus. When a spirit joins your crew, they transform into an animal which represents their true form. As previously mentioned, these designs are really wonderful and evocative, and evocative of each character's personal story. And these stories feel really genuine to me. They deal with some heavy topics, with a gentle hand, which I found genuinely affecting. I'll admit, the first spirit I led to the afterlife left a tear in my eye. It wasn't even a character I had much affection for, but by then they were part of my family. And if the first one was hard, just wait until the end. It's not sad, though. It's touching and beautiful, with a real appreciation for life and those who have touched us. The game is also very amusing, full of small, fun touches in the world and characters. For instance, despite being a game where you sail from island to island, there's a fast travel system. A bus stop in the ocean run by a manically energetic seal with the best theme song since Nier Automata's Emil. And play that out. Yeah. He's a good, fun character. The soundtrack is very cinematic in style. Big orchestral sweeps and small, intimate mob moments for you to soak in the atmosphere. A perfect accompaniment to your contemplative journey across the sea. Each island you explore tends to have its own concept, secrets, and resources to collect. Plus, there is a level of Metroidvania-style gating here, requiring you to come back at a later time. You'll get missions to help each spirit prepare to move on, improve their boat life, Plus, there's a special set of side missions, which are under a special tab entitled Shenanigans, which made me very excited. At the start of the review, I mentioned that your cat is also a Spiritfarer. Your feline companion joins you wherever you roam, again with gorgeous animation, and yes, you can give it a hug. Pick up a second controller, however, and you'll take control of the cat, and you'll find it capable of doing most everything the first player can do that doesn't involve talking. It's a simple, elegant, and fun co-op experience. Just hang out on a boat with someone you love. The core of Spiritfarer really is the life you build with all the spirits on your boat. When they are happy, they will perform specific tasks on the boat, which partly lightens the player's workload. But the main benefit is the feeling it provides. Watching a cast of characters run around the boat really makes it feel alive. You build a special place for them all, and it really does feel that way for you also. What I first assumed would be a small game is anything but. It's packed with content and will take about 30 hours to beat the story, and that entirely depends on how much you simply enjoy taking your time. I played Spiritfarer on the Nintendo Switch in handheld mode, where it performed beautifully, but the game is available most everywhere. PS4, Xbox One, Mac, Linux, PC, on Steam, Windows, and Epic Stores, even on Google Stadia. The game will set you back about $43 Australian, but it's also part of Game Pass for PC and Xbox One. So if you're part of that, you've already got the game. It's a really, really special game and definitely one of my favorite games of the year so far.
Yeah, just watching some of the gameplay here with Sarah. It's so beautiful.
It really is. It's got a lot of like details that just make it feel so alive.
They've done a fantastic job with caring for how it feels to be just hanging out on the boat, because what I'm noticing is there's a sun sort of in the background behind the boat, and as you're walking, because it's 2D obviously, as you're walking left and right, the sun sort of moves in the background, and the rays of the sun sort of peek around every corner.
Really,
yeah, the parallax effect is what I'm thinking.
And it's
really lovely.
Because it's also a day-night cycle, it's like it comes to dusk and you're just fishing on the side of the boat, and then when it hits real dark night, you can't sail anymore, the boat shuts down.
Ah.
So you can use that time to run around, do a few chores, or just go to bed. Sort of each morning I'd start up and run around, see who was hungry, because I'd cook them all a special meal. It's like, yes, you don't like crayfish, none for you. Yeah. Then I give everyone a hug. And it's the animations of the hugs are really, like, I mean, if anything, underselling them. So, like, some of the characters might be a bit upper lip, and you'll go in and they'll, like, stiffen up and then they'll relax into it. And, like, there's no character that doesn't enjoy a hug at some point with it. And it's and some of them are just like big and they run up and they wrap their arms around you. And yeah, like and what I'm saying, like I shed a tear, like genuinely, it's a very emotional game, but in a very sweet way.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah. And like theme wise, when you're delving into these characters, it will touch on things like family dynamics. There's mental illness that comes in. Characters, you know, they're dead. They suffer depression and stuff like that. You're not going to get any of the hackneyed, like, these are the stages of death, right? None of that. We left that in the 90s.
There are some, like, deep themes, very much so.
Yeah, but sort of handled in a very friendly way. Everyone's positive and wants to sort of improve and be together. In some ways, it does remind me of, like, dealing with people in palliative care and everything.
Right, okay.
You know, you're just sort of sharing experiences and trying to work out some sort of comfort at the end and everything.
So there's an intensity with that.
Yeah, and also you just, you go and do some fishing and grow some weeds and go and chop down a tree.
That's nice. That's lovely. You're making me really want to play.
Yeah.
We're now coming to the end of Zed Games this evening. I hope you've had fun listening to Paul, Zara, and myself, Evie, over here, with games such as Fight Crab.
I don't know what it is about the end of the show where we really just leave you hanging in this bit just to talk.
I don't know.
You just start repeating what we did in the show.
I feel like about the whole Elsa thing at the start.
that we might go off the rails again.
Yeah.
But we did have the one topic that we wanted to bring up again, which was the flight simulator news.
Yes, flight simulator.
The amazing obelisk in Melbourne, the 212-story building, which is, I'm so sad that it will be patched out.
The 212-story high obelisk in the suburbs of Melbourne. Yeah. It was a glitch, all right?
Well, it's not really a glitch. It's there deliberately. It's just someone made a typo because it uses open map data to feed into Bing. And then Bing just took it. Some guy just wrote that this building was 212 stories high by accident.
Yeah, by accident. Typos are a very funny thing because, like, one of my favorite typo facts is that on some of the new Australian $100 bills, there is a typo.
I remember this vaguely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I look at all my $100 bills for that.
Yeah, all our listeners, if you got a $100 bill, just check it out, see if you find a typo. And if you do find a typo, send it in.
What I love is the amount of times I'll do a like a design for something, like we're designing a t-shirt for something or a book or something, and it's gone through 20 different editors. We've all looked at it and go, oh yeah, that looks good, good balance, good balance. And then at the very end, just before it goes to print, someone goes, no, the company's wrong. And it's just like, how did nobody see this?
But that's like a meme that I showed Zara about peas.
Oh!
Okay, so it's a packaging of peas, you know, like just green peas, and they've obviously come up with a slogan.
I feel I know where this is going to go.
They've come up with a slogan that says, this time slot? Taste the penis.
Yeah.
But it's spelled P-E-A.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Taste the penis. Sorry, I have to mention it.
Anyway, that's why we're not talking at the end, because then this happens.
It's been a good show, though. I've had a lot of fun tonight. And I think Fight Crab is definitely something that I can, you know, fighting crustaceans. It's great.
I just be careful.
Mm.
It's a lot of power.
Okay. It's a lot of power.
Should we sing our way out of the episode, Evie?
Sing?
Yeah. We've had our fun. Now it's time to go.
Oh, it's time for... Yeah, it is time to go. It's time to go. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Zed Games tonight. We're getting a bit delirious in the studio. If you'd like to check out more of what we're doing, we do have podcasts on www.zgamesau.net. You can listen to our podcast there on the iTunes Store and Spotify. So we are in other places, and we also post our written reviews on our Zed Games Facebook page, which is at ZEDGamesAU, so you can check us all out there. On that note, everyone here at Zed Games says bye!
Bye! Bye.
Thanks for listening to Zed Games. If you'd like to listen to more, check out our podcast on Spotify or follow us on social media at ZEDGamesAU. See you next time.